6:30, time to call the meeting to order with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We do need to appoint the chairman and vice chairman for the 2020 year. Does anyone have a motion to appoint a chairman?
I'll make a motion to appoint Mr. Wade chairman for 2020.
A second.
Mr. Gabbard.
Yay.
Mr. Meterspaw.
Yay.
Mr. Wade.
Yay. And is there a motion to appoint a vice chair?
I'll
suggest Mr. Gabbard.
I'll second that.
All right. Mr. Meterspaw.
Yay.
Mr. Gabbard.
Yay.
Mr. Wade.
Yay. Thank you very much, by the way.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Meterspaw.
We do have the consent agenda. Does anybody have anything they want to remove from the consent agenda? Okay, moving on to fiscal business. We have the fiscal officer's report. Russell?
I have a couple things to... I sent you guys a report over the weekend, showed what our revenues were against our expenditures on an unaudited basis. Overall, it looks pretty strong. I think we ended very well in the vast majority of our funds. The township's position is strong. It really looks good. A lot of what you saw as far as the additional revenue that we're bringing in is part of the triennial valuation that happened at the county. You're not going to see those type of numbers on an annual basis going forward, going that way up. Typically, you know, we'll look to, because we are a growing community, we'll look to get between 2% and 3%, but mostly we'll guesstimate around 2%. The only outlier in that is the fire fund. That one, we were below $1.1 million over revenue, or expenses over revenue. So at some point, we are eating into the fund balance on that. We're going to have to do something
seriously
with that. And the other thing that I wanted to mention was the additional revenue that we're getting in EMS. I think a lot of that is mostly what you say is additional runs, wouldn't you?
Record-setting number of runs this year, over 300 more than last year. And then when we switched EMS billing companies a couple years ago, we reevaluated our billing rates and brought them up a little bit to be more in line with the industry standards. So we're not the highest, we're not the lowest, but we're in about the, you know, little bit above half. So that, I think that helped with that also.
But overall, pretty good news. If you guys have any questions about anything that's coming up, please let me know. That's what I'm here for, is to go through that. I'll be working on the financial plan for the next 4 years to see how we're going to do with that and make sure that we meet our goals of taking care of the roads and the rest of the items that you guys have set are priorities for us. And with that, sir, there are three resolutions for your action tonight, and we'll take them as we go.
Okay. All right. Anybody have any questions of Russell before we move on to resolution 5201? Okay, 5201 is a resolution requesting the county auditor to make tax advances during calendar year 2020 according to the higher revised code and dispensing with the second reading. Obviously, it's something we do every year.
Yes, this is something we do every year. It enables us to take the money that the county collects on our behalf and get it sooner so that we can make more interest on this. Obviously, we made over $250,000 worth of interest last year, and that helps the general fund. It helps all the other funds that are recipients of it. So let's make money instead of the county.
Absolutely. Anybody have any questions about 5201? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve 5201?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Meterspaw.
Yay.
Mr. Gabbard.
Yay.
Mr. Wade.
Yay.
5202, a resolution approving a transfer of funds from the general fund to other funds in amounts equal to investment income generated by the fourth quarter of 2019 and dispensing with the second reading.
This is the money that has been set aside by the trustees to be paid to those funds that were set in the resolution. And the numbers there reflect the interest apportioned during the fourth quarter of 2019.
Very good. Is there Any questions for Russ about 5202? If hearing none, is there a motion to approve 5202?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Gabbard.
Yay.
Mr. Muterspaul.
Yay.
Mr. Wade.
Yay. And we have 5203, a resolution to supplementally appropriate funds to the permanent appropriations resolution for fiscal year 2020, and dispense with second reading.
I'll take this one. I'll follow my own sword. Yours truly did not include the car allowance for 19. Did not pay that out for myself. Once it became known, I brought it forward to Mr. Corollis, and we decided this was the best way to address it. Incidentally, it was appropriated correctly in 20. Actually, it was appropriated correctly. It just wasn't paid out correctly. So it was the rate that I made an error on the calculation. 2020 appropriations themselves actually had enough for the car allowance for both Jeff and I. So with the board's approval and my apology, I bring it forward to the board tonight for consideration.
Okay. Any questions for Matt about that minor mistake?
Yeah. It is. It's a minor mistake. And
you made the mistake. I think you need to eat it. I don't understand what the problem is.
Brian usually checks before he
attends. That's legal fees. I assure you, legal fees are
spot on. Nothing minor about that. Is there a motion to approve 5203?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Muterspaul.
Yay.
Mr. Gabbard.
Yay.
Mr. Wright.
Yay.
That's it, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, anything on public comments now before we move on to new business? Yeah, please, come on in. Come on up, and if you would, state your name for us for the record.
Good evening, trustees. Andre Tagliamonte, 1739 Winding Run Boulevard in our township. I live in the village of Winding Run. I'm also a trustee for the board. And I just have just a couple of requests and just wanted to know what would be the best way to handle them. This is my first time coming to the board, so moved in about 2 years ago. So love the community. So I live on Winding Run, and that intersects with Maple Brook. I'm lot 394. And as you know, the construction that's going down the east side of that road, there's an additional 26 lots there. I would say probably 3/4 of them are completed. The issue that we have is that all the cement trucks are coming down Stone Ridge and then coming down Winding Run. And so we've tried to work with Ryan and their subs to say, hey, you know what? You guys are tearing up this road. And that road is going to have some attention done to it at some point in time. And I just hate to have the burden on us. But I think the alternative is if they were to go down Lytle Five Point, that would be the easier route for them to go and continue to construct those homes there. As you know, we have lots that are undeveloped. We have homes that are under construction. You know, we've got some stuff going on the Centerville side. So I guess my request is that do we ever put no construction traffic on our public roads to help not only the community, but also to help the burden that would probably going to hit us.
Ruining those roads, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just kind of looking for some guidance from everyone here on what we've done in the past. If we've not done anything, then, you know, maybe we can start a precedent. But again, I live in Chicago for 10 years. I lived in Centerville for 13, moved away and then came back because both my kids go to Miami, Ohio. But, you know, the long and short is I've seen this happen year over year. I'm a business owner too. So again, my whole idea is not to burden us down the road. So if we can, you know, if we can kind of figure out what makes sense. And again, I've talked to them. I've talked to Lance. Obviously, Lance is on our board too, Lance Oaks.
Mm-hmm.
And the roads are now the county's. He's turned them over, I believe. And so, I don't know. I'm just looking for some guidance and some help there to try to figure something out. I mean, there's 2x4s. Today, a school bus had to wait because there was a pumping concrete truck. And, you know, the school buses, they have a set schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked to Ryan about that, about, hey, you know, these are the times the school buses come through here. Try to make sure that the pumping trucks aren't here. Because those buses, you know, and there's some short buses there. Mm-hmm. You know, so anyways, I need some help or,
okay.
You know, what do you
point
think?
Point of clarification, those are not the county roads, those are ours.
Those are ours. Yeah,
those are township roads.
Yeah, they're township roads. Okay. Yeah, no, you're right. It's even worse.
So
you're correct. You know, Jeff, correct me, but it seems to me 27 years ago that we had an issue, a similar thing, and we were able to reroute them. I don't know. I think we even put some signage up.
I'm not recalling on which subdivision we did that, sir. I can look.
I know
back.
We've been able to do no semi traffic. Let us.
Okay.
If you would leave your name and number.
Sure. The only thing that we're talking about issues that are coming into play is that the last three sections of the subdivision are going to be in the northern part of your subdivision. So coming in on the north, hit that most northern roundabout. You know, so I'm not sure how to
mitigate that.
Yeah, we're going to have stuff in the south and stuff in the north. So I'm not sure how to regulate it, I guess, in a proper manner that infill and regular construction, you know, is able to go to where it needs to go. I understand that you have a lot of Ryan accumulation of stuff. Yeah, we go and do zoning inspections, and it's hard sometimes to get down the street. Yes,
right.
We do understand. But that's part of the normal construction process, and then they move on to their other sections. So I'm not sure how to balance out, since they're not congregated all at the same spot, how to address. But we can do some research. Talk with police and our road department.
I would tell you, I would be a little bit more comfortable if we ran on Lance's roads. I mean, I think Lance built a very good road. I mean, I saw him do it.
Yeah.
And I'm not a road expert, but the Beezer roads that put in, they're all falling apart. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I would tell you, again, as just an average consumer out there, I mean, it's just, you know, I saw what Lance did. I mean, you know, we were the last ranch before they made that new section. So, I mean, I saw how they put, you know, the lime down or whatever they did. But anyways, I mean, I would feel more comfortable if that construction traffic was on the, let's just call it the Lance Roads versus the Visa
better
Roads
built.
Because they're built a lot better, which is great for us in the long run. So I applaud you guys for holding them to a higher standard.
Well, and have we had any precedent that we've ever had to have a construction company go back in and repair those roads?
Well, ultimately you have roads that go into and back. Let's just step back in time, which is when Beezer was in charge, you know, we had bonding associated with the roads.
Mm-hmm.
That's not as in play at this point in time. There's a longer wait period to make sure that the construction that was performed continued to maintain itself, so to speak. And Scott could probably go into greater detail since that's one of his checklists that they do with the road department. But, you know, all the roads out there should be meeting a minimum standard that the county engineer is checking to be there. So I'm not sure how to judge one over the other. One just had some more wear and tear than the other. And at some point, you know, Scott can address when roads would have meet a minimum that they would be resurfaced and the like. So there's a couple factors going in, and since that is a multiple section through the past decade subdivision, they're going to be at various levels. But, you know, as Mr. Wade is talking about, we can look and see what we've done elsewhere and what can be done.
That'd be great.
And see if there's some relief that can occur.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the only other thing, I'll just take a quick minute.
Yeah.
So we don't have a noise ordinance. We have a dog ordinance here, is what I read.
Mm-hmm.
So is there, I mean, have you not had a lot of residents complain about the amount of noise? Not dogs. Dogs is fine, but you know, we have construction people working. I mean, so I have a factory in California and I have a factory in Las Vegas, and I usually take a red eye. So I'm either leaving there in the mid afternoon and coming home at midnight, which I usually get home around 1. But literally, I see people. I mean, even the house next door, they're working at 2-3 o'clock. I ended up calling the police department. They came out. I had no idea who was in the pit. There was guys with gravel and. There was a bobcat back there. Have we ever thought about a noise ordinance?
Yes.
Yeah.
You go there.
No, right ahead.
We've looked at that before. The township is unique in the sense that it has residential, it has agricultural.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a farm next to a subdivision that's out there raising crops and using that machinery, and you've got construction that goes on and so forth. It's a splitting of hairs. If there's construction going on and it's construction noise,
mm-hmm.
County prosecutor's office is saying that's what it is. If there's a guy on top of the roof and he's blaring a boombox at midnight, but he's working on the roof, he's probably going to get in trouble for the boombox, but not the roof.
Got it.
So it gets very difficult to get there. And then since we have a mix rather than just a city environment. How do you regulate farming noises? How do you regulate livestock noises? How do you regulate? So it's just very difficult to come up with a perfect solution to do that. but there is some hair splitting we can do with what they're doing. If it's just construction noise, unfortunately, it's just construction noise. There's no time of day to start, no time in the afternoon to end. There's not anything historically in the courts that gives me a particular time to work with, like you have to be done by 10 or whatever. It's just not there to work with. So we look at those individually. We look and see what it is that they're doing and whether or not that would be considered an abuse of noise. Most recent one, the reason why I brought it up is we had a guy on a roof with a boom box blaring, and he was roofing. He got in trouble with the boom box, but not the roof. So there's where we have to split that because the other part is just construction. So, but it's temporary, and
yeah,
you know,
thank
if
you.
If we
thank
create
you,
a noise ordinance, how do you ever get another house built?
Right.
So it just becomes problematic to split that. So.
However, if you have a specific concern, I don't think it's out of reason to go and make contact with whoever the builder or developer is to say, as a courtesy to your neighbors, can we limit to reasonable hours when the subs are out there actually working? That's a
yeah, it's just, man. You know, we have a plethora of children and, you know, in various ages. I mean, it seems like there's always a two-story house that's being built. And
you know, I don't mind having that conversation with the developer if you've got specific instances where you're like, this is going on like you're 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't think that's reasonable personally. But
yeah.
When you get a bobcat or something backing up,
yeah,
running,
I would
try to use crazy
common sense and courtesy more than I would an actual piece of legislation.
Well, unfortunately, you can't teach common sense to a lot of people, so it gets a little difficult. And then it's great to hear that our you know, being a new resident here for 2 years, that our finances are healthy and strong. So that's great. I know I'm in a great place. So that's great to hear that.
Happy to be here too.
Coming from Chicago, I'm sure you guys know the story. So, anyways,
well, we appreciate
thank
you coming
you
in and make sure they get your name and number.
Right, yeah. Just tell me your contact phone and I can.
Sure. First name is Andre, A-N-D-R-E. Last name is Tagliamonte, T-A-G-L-I-A-M-O-N-T-E.
And what's a good number for you, sir?
937-477. 6716.
All right.
Great.
Fantastic.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good evening.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you. Okay. Moving on to new business, Parks, Road and Parks. We have Resolution 5204, resolution authorizing the Township Administrator to execute a contract with Warren County Engineer's Office for the 2020 resurfacing project and dispensing with the second reading.
Engineer's Office went out early, so.
Excellent. Is there a motion to approve 5204?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Gabbard.
Yay.
Mr. Meterspaul.
Yay.
Mr. Wade.
Yay. And we have anything else under Road and Park, Scott? Anything
no, sir.
Up at this time? Okay. Police Department, we have 5205, a resolution to amend and restate Clear Creek Township's participation in the Warren County Drug Task Force and dispensing with the second read.
The Drug Task Force operates off of a COG. Anytime we add another jurisdiction to that COG, everybody's got to go through the re-signing of that COG. So the COG was getting, I'm sorry, I can't remember, somebody added to it that wanted to join the Drug Task Force. Sorry, I can't send a year of the re-signing of that original COG. So that's what it boils down to. Somebody was added.
Okay. Very good. Is there a motion to approve 5206?
5205.
Sorry.
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Meterspaul.
Yeah.
Mr. Gabbard.
Yay.
Mr. Waite.
Yeah. Anything else from the police department? Moving on to planning and zoning, we have 5206, first reading of a resolution to approve or modify or deny an amendment to the final detailed site plan stage 3 for general business plan unit development B2 PUD at 9125 North State Route 48.
Yes, sir. Just give you a thumbnail of what's going on. This PUD is over 40 years old back in 1979.
Yeah,
1979. 79. All right, so I'm getting my date.
Yeah,
it's been a little bit.
I'm old.
It went through its first rezoning process at that point in time. The property north of it was residential. It's gone through a couple variations. Most recent was 1996, when the current site plan is in play, and at that point in time, the existing buildings were the limitation of development on the site. The 1989 approval had multiple buildings, and that went away. In 2005, the property north went through a zone change and actually now is a B1 PUD. So typically when you're looking at commercial to residential, you have a 25-foot side yard setback. When you have non-residential to non-residential, it falls to a 15-foot setback. So there's some background. The reason for tonight, the applicant came for me, talked about, hey, we started an addition to the building. I went ahead of schedule. I thought he was getting the permits. He thought I was getting the permits. We started looking at things, and ultimately, since it is a modification to the site plan, it actually has to come back before this body. So the request is for a 24 by 52 addition to an existing storage building. So if you're looking at the photos, that's everything that's identified with the yellow arrow. In the process of doing the research for this, I found that there was a canopy. It was 12 foot by 60 foot. It was attached to the existing storage building. It's attributed to a 1998 timeline. That's the green arrow. So we're actually trying to bless two activities if you believe both are appropriate, or if you believe one or the other, something for further discussion or modification. Ultimately, what I have it set up for is their current setbacks to be applicable. So if we look at resolution 5206, they were put at the current setbacks, not to encroach any further and not to be anything other than what is specified for those two structures. If the applicant wanted to come back in the future and establish a additional structure, that would be another time before you. So for this evening, it's just to bless what has been put in place in 1998 or what was started in 2019. So with that, the applicant is present to answer questions, but I can answer anything if you have those of me at this time.
As you mentioned earlier, I kind of remember this, but that's about all. We have it's a small encroachment.
If it were to go through and have been built per the expectation of all the site plans, it should have a 25-foot side yard. But that was based upon a residential to the north. So if it were to come through today, you probably would impose a 15-foot side yard. So the true encroachment's approximately a foot for the canopy.
Right.
So that is truly something that is odd, quote-unquote, with the PUD. If it were today, they'd say, okay, I'll give a little bit difference in setback that's within your purview as the trustees with a planning unit development to give a variance, so to speak, or a modification to a side yard or rear yard setback. The 2019 structure is meeting a 20-foot setback, so if we go with a 15, it would exceed what a modification setback could be for commercial to commercial.
Okay. Being that it is commercial to commercial now and not it was commercial to residential.
Correct.
I don't have any heartburn with it myself, but it's very close to what we would do today. Why we didn't. Whatever. Who knows why that happened?
Well, the case file is varied, and it was, I think, one of the first PUDs that the township had. There was a lot of discussion about what the role of the township trustees would be versus the zoning commission versus the applicant in control and the like. And not everything ever panned out from some of those ideas. And coming back to the 1989 approval, in the 1996 approvals, both of those had some varied ideas about what this PUD would evolve into. And ultimately, restricting it back to what it is consistent over the course of the past 20 years to be uses on the site, where things are, and the like. So there's not been a lot of redevelopment until this point in time.
I'm fine with it. There's a lot of layers to it, but
it is definitely an item, yes.
My grandfather was on the zoning commission when that started, so it's been a little while.
Yeah, I was here too, but
I
still didn't remember.
Opposite ends of that. Opposite ends of that.
Goes without saying.
That's right. Goes without saying.
That's perfect. I would like to see if there a motion to approve this amendment to the PUD as Jeff has indicated.
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Gabbard?
Yay.
Mr. Meterspaul?
Yay.
Mr. Wade?
Yay.
So, fair enough. Thank you.
So this was the first reading. There'll be a second reading in 2 weeks, but the blessing is that we can move forward.
Makes a little sense.
1 minute.
Yes.
I'll try to take this minute.
Careful. Go ahead and state your name too, please.
I appreciate that. And I want to thank you guys or tell you guys what that guy means to me. You probably don't know this. You might know it. I don't know. But my son committed suicide right across the street about 6 months ago. And this guy's and these guys showed up before I got there. I got tackled in the front yard by the police department and said I could not go in the house. And I, being a father, said, I'm going with you or I'm going through you. You make the choice. And he put his arm around me and we went in. And I will tell you, I hope never anybody ever has to go through that. But those two guys made it about as positive as it could have been. It was a very tragic night. But the police department was there with me till the minute that I walked out of that house, and with their arms around me, protecting me. And I just want you guys to know that these guys did an outstanding job. And I know in the world we live in today, everybody is quick to tell you how bad they are. But I just want you to know, from my point of view, it couldn't have been a more peaceful night for what happened. And it was because of those guys. And Officer Ney is the one guy I remember. I just remember his name. He's the one that, you know, took advantage of me or took care of me or however you want to say it. But it was for what it's worth. I just want you to know that. Hear that from me.
Well, we appreciate those comments.
Thank you. Thank
for
you.
Sure.
Sorry. I'll talk to you later. Thank you.
Okay. Wow. Moving on, under planning and zoning, we have Resolution 5207, a resolution determining that the maintenance of 3640 Colton Court constitutes a nuisance for trash, debris, and so on, and dispensing with the second reading.
Yeah, this is one of two properties in that subdivision that's been abandoned by the developer, builder, so to speak. The only thing we could tag out of the two is the debris at this point in time.
So we're asking to clean that up so the neighbors have
at least some movement of something positive happening with these two properties. I anticipate both of them will be grass nuisances in the spring. So just FYI, it's coming.
We'll see this again.
Yeah.
I got you. All right. Is there a motion to approve 5207?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Meterspaul?
Yay.
Mr. Gabbard?
Yay.
Mr. Wade?
Yeah. I guess then I should have said in dispensing the second.
Sorry. It's fine.
Put that on there, please.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. Anything else, Jeff?
Not this time, sir.
Okay. Fire district, you have just consent agenda items. Anything else, Steve?
The monthly report was in the consent agenda, but I just wanted to point one thing out that on the front, under above and beyond section, is a fire district has always, in the years past, sponsored families for through the SCAC and stuff. This year, Lieutenant Stafford approached and said he wanted to do something a little bit more. He wanted to do a food and clothing drive in front of Dorothy Lane Market and Kroger and reach out to the community to see if he could fill an ambulance called a Pack-A-Medic full of stuff for the SCAC, and he was able to do that this year. On his day off, and firefighter James Whitney assisted him, who recently passed as paramedics, by the way.
Well, congratulations.
And they were able to, on their days off, and they took the Sparky costume and filled an ambulance with stuff and went to Lytle Elementary because they kind of did something similar, so we worked together. And I really, for the first year to actually fill the ambulances is really, really awesome. And I see this growing. A number of people reached out to me to get more involved, so I can see this thing growing legs. So kudos to Lieutenant Stafford for putting that together and James Whitney for helping.
Yeah, excellent. Well, good for you guys. Very good.
And the board from the SCAC thanks you as well.
Absolutely.
Of which I am a member. It's a special group.
Anything else, Steve? Administration. No new business?
I have no new business to bring before the board tonight. I'll wait for staff updates for a couple of things.
Okay. Well, next we have the consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda, or do we have anything you want to talk about in there? I assume not.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Mr. Gabbard.
Yay.
Mr. Muirspaugh.
Yay.
Mr. Wade.
Yay. Now, staff update.
Jeff's been working hard with EES, moving forward with the Red Line Sewer Project evaluation. We have a meeting scheduled with EES late next week to prepare for the stakeholders' evening meeting on January 22nd. So that is still moving forward, and obviously some activity in that regard. So we'll keep the board posted. What comes of our next, our third and final public stakeholders' meeting? Approved a major revision to the handbook for which three MOUs were actually required for our bargaining units. It's my understanding, although I don't have them in hand yet today, but both bargaining units have given the verbal blessing to sign off on those, and we will obviously bring that to the board for formal ratification at the next meeting.
Excellent.
Are you going to cover Major Aerosmith next week, next month, next meeting? He's coming next meeting for the
Drug Task Force wants to come in and give their yearly report, and he wanted to do that at the next meeting at 9 o'clock. He's trying to cover all the jurisdictions that work best for him, so just give you a heads up. He'll be at the next meeting.
Okay. Good deal.
That's all I had for
all you
had. Staff
update. Anybody else on any staff updates? Anybody else have anything? Okay, we do have an executive session scheduled. Nothing further to bring up in the regular meeting. I'd like to entertain a motion to recess this meeting and go move into executive session at 6:02.
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Muirspaugh.
Yay.
Mr. Gabbard.
Yay.
Mr. Wade.
Yay. Okay, we are at about 6:28, coming out of executive session, and we've all three been in there. Is there anything else to talk about executive session, gentlemen? I think you probably ought to say no.
No.
And with that, nothing further to talk about any from executive session, I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Muirspaugh.
Yay.
Mr. Gabbard.
Yay.
Mr. Wade.
Yay.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.